Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Good to be here tonight. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
I'd rather be here tonight than downtown St. Louis. I would, amen. I mean, I like baseball, and I like going to ball games, and all that stuff, but I'm going to tell you what, there's at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I learned this. I see, I like sports, okay? And I think the Apostle Paul likes sports too. I mean, I really do. I mean, he talks all the time about wrestling and running a race and boxing. I mean, he uses those phrases and those terminologies. And the culture of the day in Roman and Greek culture, I mean, they had the Olympics, they had different things like that. I mean, they were known for that. And I kind of think Paul at least knew what he was talking about, okay? But anyway, I learned this in, what year was it, 98, 99, when the Rams went to the Super Bowl, okay? I mean, we was all excited. Jeremy, you remember that? Everybody's all excited. And we did not cancel church for the Super Bowl, okay? But when we were done with church, we kind of got together and we watched the rest of the game. And I remember watching that, was all excited, and we was doing high fives and everything like that, watching Kurt Warner throw that football and beating Tennessee and all this stuff. And I woke up the next day, and I asked myself the question, how is your life different now after the game has been won than it was before? It wasn't. Okay? My life goes on. Exactly. It did not make any long-term difference in me whatsoever. Okay? It was a fleeting pleasure. Okay? And so I watched a little bit of the game the other night. Okay? And watched the last inning and watched, Albert was just taking it away. Okay? That was exciting. I woke up the next morning and I'm going, let's go to work. Okay? So we're here in the house of God. What God's going to show us tonight, what God's going to help us with, is going to last us long beyond. Okay? And I just decided not to get my emotions all wrapped up on who wins what and how they do and whether the game was fair and whether the umpires made all the right calls and this and that and the other. And so we're here in the house of God and we're glad to be here. Can I hear you say amen? Had a fellow call me today, this afternoon, from somewhere in Australia. And we talked a little bit, and I told him, he said he'd be watching tonight, so I'm saying howdy, I'm saying good day to him and anybody else in Australia that's watching us, and appreciate everybody tuning in. I want us to pray, and pray for Jimmy Carmichael, who's recovering from his surgery quite well. Y'all will appreciate what Lisa and I did, okay? We took a great big thing of butter cookies up there to his hospital room today, but he can't eat them. Okay? And so y'all can thank me after church tonight, all right? But anyway, he's doing fine, and they expect him out of the hospital in a few days. And, well, she really is wanting Mama tonight, amen? But anyway, pray for him and lift him up. I was talking to Taylor here right before the service and just a little while. There was an incident. Did that happen yesterday? At her school. I actually found out about it last night from our neighbor. I just happened to pull in there and her boy was out there and he was crying. And I said, what happened? She said he lost a good friend of his. And she said that he just didn't know which way to turn in life. And I said, well, what happened? But the look told me right then what had happened. And without giving all the details, there was a 15-year-old boy yesterday that went to his school and went to, what'd you say, the dugout at school, I guess at the ball field, and took his own life there. And he did it there for a reason, was so that some people would take notice of it. And I'll tell you, probably everybody here at one time has got into a situation that they didn't want to live through. Amen? Okay? There's a difference between that and crossing the line and doing something about it. And I'll tell you that there is always a spirit. Unless, unless the faculties of the mind just don't work the way they should anymore. And I've seen that happen too. But it is a spiritual deal is what it is. And I want us to pray that this was somebody that she knew, she was in band with, and it's having an effect on her, and I want us to pray for her, and I want us to pray for this family. I don't know who they are, but they need somebody praying for them. This is a tough, tough thing to deal with, and they need somebody praying for them, and we're going to pray for this family tonight. Can I hear you say amen to that? And so just pray about that and pray for one another. Pray for me. Pray for the message tonight. And let's just get a hold of the hand of God. Yes, sweetie pie. Pray for Lindsay and her baby. And pray that God will help. Yes, Brother Roy. Do you have any reason to believe that you won't make it through the night? Amen. 23 years sober. Everybody say amen to that. Okay. Tomorrow. Okay. I think you'd be okay. Okay. Yeah. that is a big deal. Amen. 23 years. And you tell the Lord thank you every day. Amen. You tell the Lord thank you. Don't ever forget the pit that God saved you out of. Amen. And I know Roy. I appreciate him. He's always been open and honest about it. He's let me preach about it. And he does that because he knows that might help somebody else to know what he's been through. And that's really the thing. And I shared this with Taylor. You know, every one of us has got little cracks in our life that grace just pours through. Amen. And we're not as good as we think we are. And we're not as good as everybody else thinks we are. And we're not perfect. And we all have bad things happen to us. Some of it self-inflicted, some of it not. But one of the greatest things that God has the ability to do is turn those curses into blessings. Blessings for ourselves and blessings for the people around us. And at some point, she's going to sit down with somebody who's going to come to her in grief. And she's going to say, let me tell you what happened to me when I was 15 years old. And she's going to tell this story. And she's going to say, here's what God did for me during that time. Somebody say amen to that. And so anyway, you pray for all this and tell God thank you. All right? Yes, Alicia. Okay, she's had a few difficulties, so lift them up. All right? Let's go to the Lord and pray. Yes, Bonnie. Her brother, last I heard, was doing fine, was out of surgery, and everything was going okay. That brother needs prayer. He not for healing, but he needs to be broken. Okay? He's as hard as a coconut shell, and he needs to be broken. And you pray for his salvation. And God knows how to break it. There ain't nothing too hard for God. Amen? There's a stone cut without hands. Amen? And he's in the breaking business. But you just pray that that he'll be broken and be saved. All right? Heavenly Father, I love you. And Lord, it's very, very good to be in your house tonight. And I thank you, dear God, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And thank you, dear God, Lord, for salvation. I thank you, dear God, for supplying it to us all. And Lord, Father, for the mercy that you've had in our lives. I thank you, dear God, Lord, for this meeting place tonight and this gathering together, Lord. Lord, Father, we just heard tragic news today, Lord, just a young life, Lord, that, Lord, I don't know all the situations of his life, but, Lord, at some point he decided not to follow the gospel. And I pray, dear God, it's too late to pray for him, but I pray for his family. And then, Lord, they must be broken. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would send somebody close to that family that would be able to minister to them with the truth of the gospel, dear God, and that they all might be saved. Father, we ask, dear God, you'd bless Taylor and this young boy's other friends, dear God. And Lord, Father, they would have spiritual understanding, Lord, to know, that God, that you're a God of hope, you're a God of life, and you're a God of living, and you're not the God of the dead. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would instill that in their lives. Father, we pray for those that are sick and those that are recovering, need healing. Lord, Father, just bless them. Pray for this man tonight, Lord, he needs to be saved. He needs salvation rooted down deep in his heart, God, and he's very hard-hearted. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would break him and mold him, that you'd plow up the fallow ground in his life, dear God, that he would be saved. Father, Lord, we just ask, God, tonight that you'd put a good, sweet spirit in this place. Lord, Father, God, Lord, that you'd bless the word and bless the giver of the word tonight, Lord, as we preach and as we teach and as we study your word. Lord Father, thank you, dear God, for some things that you've been showing me. Lord, it's been a blessing to me. It's been a help. Lord Father, I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would continue to use and bless our church. Father, Lord, we pray for those, Lord, that watch and Lord Father, that participate online and watch DVDs. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would bless them and let our church be a blessing to them and let your word through us be a blessing. Father, Lord, there are those out there, dear God, that don't like us. And Lord, Father, they're accusing us, dear God, of things, Lord, that we're not guilty of. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would bless them tonight. And I mean that, Lord. I mean that, Lord, I want you to bless them. I mean no ill will to them, dear God. I want you to bless them and give them, bless their family and bless their home and bless their job and bless their finances and their health. And Lord, Father, just save them, dear God, if they're not saved and bring them to you, Lord, that we can fellowship in eternity in heaven. Lord, Father, just bless this church and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis if you would. And we're going to read one word. Bible says, preach the word. Amen. And I was going back over this and I thought I was going to pick it up in Genesis 49 and had kind of studied that out. And God had kind of given me a new angle to preach that on, but not yet. Okay, not yet. And there was one word here that just kind of jumped out in the text. And I was just going to skip over it. And the Holy Ghost just kind of yanked on the chain, pulled on the dog collar a little bit and said, stop right here. Okay, sniff that out. Okay, now go get them. And so I just went through the Bible. Amen. And I didn't know what you do with a good bloodhound. Amen. You get them to sniff it out first and they say, go get them. And boy, you just find it all through the scriptures. So anyway, in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15, here's Jacob's blessing to Joseph. Now you say we've already covered this. Well, we missed something. Okay, there was something here that I don't know. I'm just going to kind of take you through the scriptures tonight. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Now I want you to underline that in your Bible. Go ahead, okay, get your highlighter out. It's already there. Get your highlighter out, your underlining pen, or whatever it is you do. And I want you to underline that the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now this is reason 4,985,637,422 of why I like the King James Bible. Okay? And there's a lot more of them than that. But this is one of those deals in the Bible where they got it right. Okay? They got it right. And the translators knew who this was, okay? By inspiration of the Holy Ghost, by the blessing of God, by their study of the Word of God, by their reverence for the Word of God, these men knew that they were handling the Word of God, and they knew they had to handle it carefully, amen? So that's why they did what they did as far as their review of each other's work. They just knew that they were not to be private in their translation or their interpretation. And this one word here, the word angel in verse 16, went through all 54 of them scholars and they all said, yes, yes, let's put a capital A on that name. Because and I'll tell you why. They knew that it was not just any ordinary angel. And I'll tell you how they knew. And I'll tell you how you can know it too. Even if your Bible doesn't happen to have the A capitalized. Let's say that it was a typographical error. The angel that did what? Redeemed thee from all evil. God, in fact, let me do this. We're going to go, I'll tell you what we're going to do, where we're headed tonight. We're going to study Christ, the angel, in the Old Testament. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to kind of go verse by verse. I didn't include every single reference to the angel of the Lord or anything like that in the Old Testament. But we're going to study Christ as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And I believe that when you see places in the Bible where it refers to the angel of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus. Okay. In fact, I'll show you more than that tonight by the time we get to it. But some people kind of have a hang up on that. They say, well, Christ is not an angel. Well, let's see here. Genesis chapter 48, verse 16 says that he is. Number one, capital A. Those translators knew. Those guys were not dummies. They were not dealing with faulty text and a faulty understanding of Hebrew. They knew exactly who this was because ordinary angels do not have the power of redemption. And you cannot ascribe that to them. And God never ascribes that to them. And I'm going to show you the difference between Christ, the angel of the Lord, okay, and the rest of the angels. Take your Bible and turn. Where am I going? Does anybody know? Anybody want to take a guess? Hebrews chapter 1. Very good. Okay. Now, Brady, can I talk about you for a minute? You don't mind? Okay. See, that's another thing. Old Roy was drunk with, what was your favorite drink, Roy?
Alcohol.
Alcohol? At least he'll give you a straight answer. Amen. What was your preference? Real fast? Okay. And early? Okay. And often, okay? And old Brady was drunk with false doctrine, okay? He was, and it caused him to not see straight, caused him to not think straight, caused him to not say words correctly, okay? Caused him to stumble. He would stumble over the word being disobedient. He would stumble over the Bible. And I kept trying to say, here's the Bible right here. He'd trip. And stumble over the very thing that the first time that he called me on the phone, I knew he was looking for truth. I knew he was. But he every time I would give him the truth, he'd fall and stumble over it. Okay? And I did not save Brady Crum. I did not lead him to the Lord. I did not say, now, if you just believe me now, just trust me, Brady. I know what I'm talking about. I've been to Bible college. I did not tell him that. I would say, here's the truth, here's the truth, stumble, here's the truth, stumble, here's the truth, stumble. And finally the Holy Ghost said, wake up, Brady. Poured some Holy Ghost coffee down him, amen? And woke him up. But this is one of those deals, and if I'm right now, Jehovah's Witness will use this to Michael the Archangel. Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in divers, which is diverse, okay, manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And I preached Sunday morning about Christ the mediator, and I'm telling you this, and you just remember that I said this, and write it down somewhere if you want to, if I say it right, okay? God will not do anything outside of his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus will not do anything outside of the glory of God, his Father. They will never, ever work against one another or work around one another. Never happens. You want to talk about the ultimate father and son relationship? That's what that is. That is a model for us daddies and us sons to follow after in our relationship with our parents. Can I hear you say amen? One does never work around the other, okay? God never, ever worked around his Son. He didn't create everything and then give it to Jesus. He used Jesus to create everything, okay? Whom he also made the worlds. And then verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, this is why you ought not have an idol of God. There cannot be an image of God other than Jesus Christ. If God were, and I'm going to say this, there are Catholic churches and Protestant churches that are loaded with imageries. They have idols inside their churches. And I want to tell you something, if that's what you want to worship, be my guest. They're not listening. Those stone and gold figures that you're praying to are not listening to you. And I watched a Lutheran priest walk up. He was walking down the aisle of a funeral I went to, and he was reading out of a prayer book, and there was a big 10-foot tall statue of Jesus up on the stage sitting on a throne. And I'm just going, man, that ain't right. But he, reading his prayer, he walked up on the stage and stood in front of that statue and bowed before it and was reading that prayer. And I said, that's wicked. That's not right. That's a violation of the commandments of God. Okay? And God will not, if you want to worship an image, be my guest. But the express image of God is Jesus Christ and the only one allowed. Somebody say amen. So I've said this before. If you want to know what God looks like, just start reading. Amen. You'll understand. But anyway, the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Okay? That's something, that's the proof right there that Christ is God. That he is God and not just an ordinary created angel. Okay? In that Christ, the angels of heaven were commanded by God to worship Jesus Christ. Look at that verse. Let all the angels of God worship him. Yes, sir. You're kidding me. They said that let all the angels of God give obeisance to him. Wow. You see, I'd call him and I'd get a verse out of the King James. I thought, man, this is going to get him. And I'd say, Brady. And I'd read this verse and he'd pull out his NIV. No, his New World.
HIV.
Yeah, HIV. He'd pull out his New World Translation and he'd say, nope, that's not what it says here. They covered most of the bases in that Bible. They did not want anybody to have the truth. In verse 7, unto the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and in his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Notice what he said to the Son, thy throne, O God. You're kidding me. What'd they change it to?
The punctuation and comma is different.
Them dirty rat bags. Thy throne, notice he says, the Son is O God. And to the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there. And then what Hebrews is telling you is that when you see references like this, okay, like this in Genesis, where clearly the angel being referred to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, and you read here in Hebrews, you don't see the ministry of redemption being given through angels. You don't see that. You do not, and I want you to get this, you do not see the ministry of redemption given through lesser beings than God Almighty. To God and God alone belongs redemption. Can I hear you say amen? Nobody has the ability to buy back but God. Angels don't possess anything. They cannot purchase anything. Only God, the Redeemer, can do that. But it's interesting to me that, and let me kind of preface it this way. In the New Testament, we see apostles, okay? The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle James. And yet there is a chief apostle over them all whose name is, guess who? Not Pope John Paul, not Pope Benedict, Jesus Christ, who is the chief apostle. Okay? In the Bible, we have the office of bishop. We have bishops over churches. Someone who is established as an overseer of the local congregation of God, not over the whole world, but over a local congregation of God. Somebody's got to be an overseer. Amen? He's not a dictator. He's not, you know, Adolf Hitler. He's just an overseer of the flock of God. He's getting his commandments from the boss. Amen? The boss says, here's what I want you to do, and that's what they go do. Somebody say amen. But there is a chief bishop whose name is, guess who? Jesus Christ. That is his title as bishop, as author, as finisher, as apostle, as he was. There were prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah, whose name is like a Hebrew form of Yeshua. And so is Hosea. And so is Joshua. All those Hebrew names are sort of equivalents to Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua. But all of them were prophets of the Old Testament. But there is a prophet who was sent from God, capital P, whose name is, guess who? Jesus Christ. And so there was a high priest in the Old Testament. His name was Aaron. But there is a great high priest in heaven whose name is Jesus Christ. Everybody follow where I'm going so far? Okay? So then we have angels. The name, Greek word, angelos, literally means a messenger. So think about this office. Think about this office, okay? So we have the messengers of God, those who are performing the functions and the commandments of God. So we have an innumerable company of angels, but they have one angel that is over them who he wanted. There was one who wanted to be over all the angels. His name was not Jesus Christ. It was, according to Bradley, his twin brother, Lucifer. Just kidding. That's what they used to teach, that Lucifer and Jesus were brothers. Did you know that? It's what Mormon doctrine teaches. Okay? First time I heard that, I went, them guys are worse than the J-dubs, man. I tell you what. Anyway, Lucifer wants to be in charge. He said, I will ascend above the... He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's what he said. He wants the job of being head over all the angels. And he fights for it. He loses. Amen? But we have a chief angel that is higher than all the other angels. He's given a higher title, son. He's given a higher position at the right hand of God. He's given a greater responsibility, and that is the redeemer of all mankind, redeeming us from all evil. Somebody say amen. And all of the other angels in heaven worship him. You following me? Okay. So here we have the angel mentioned. The angel, capital A, which redeemed me from all evil. And I want you to think, let's go back just for a minute. We don't have time to really cover this the way I want to. But let's go back just for a minute. We've already covered this in the book of Genesis. What angel was it that Jacob was referring to here? Which one? Okay, but what reference, what part of history, what part of his past was he talking about when he mentions an angel that he encountered? The one he wrestled with. Okay? He wrestled with a man. Okay? And he's wrestling, and he's wrestling all night. And the angel says, release me. And Jacob said, I'll not release you until you bless me. Okay? Truly, as the Bible says, the lesser was blessed of the greater. Amen? Similar to like Melchizedek, okay? The lesser was blessed of the greater, okay? If Isaac comes up to me and says, I want to bless you, Brother Mike. Okay? So like he, you know, gives me a quarter or something like that, okay? Okay, thanks. I'll be nice about it, okay? But if I reached in my wallet and pulled out a $50 bill and handed it to Isaac, he may not know what to do with it. Okay, but see, the greater, take his dad to a hockey game, okay? The greater blesses the lesser. And here we have Jacob asking one who was greater than he was to bless him. And he blessed him. And how did he bless him? He gave him a new name. You're not Jacob anymore. Okay, you took the old name and you run it through the trash. Amen. You're Israel. You have power with God and prevail. You are Israel. And so the lesser, which is us, are blessed by the greater. Somebody say amen. And that's the angel that he was talking about. The angel that he wrestled with. The angel that redeemed him from all evil. How? By giving him a new name. Go read Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. That those who prevail unto the end, God will give them a white stone, and on that stone, a new name. Somebody say amen. I like this. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. You know what? I am missing. Here it is. No, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Man, I don't know why I had that out of order. I don't like for my scripture verses to be out of order. When I search the scriptures, I pull my little quick verse up, and I just type in like angel or angel of the Lord or something like that, and I just like to go in order. Okay? One after another. Exodus chapter 3. Let me show you who this angel is. Okay? Let me show you who the Bible calls this angel. Okay? Now, let's look at the ministry of angels. Number one, they're the messengers of God. They will faithfully bear to us the words of God without fail. Somebody say amen to that. Okay? So the chief ministry of Christ as angel of the Lord, number one, is to bring us the infallible word of God. God himself designating Christ this way. We talked about this Sunday morning. When God spoke with his own mouth, Peter testified of it in what was it, 2 Peter, when he said, I heard the voice. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, what Jesus says, I put my words in his mouth. Just like Jeremiah was told that that's how it was going to happen. Just like the other prophets, God said, I will put my words in thy mouth. And when Jesus comes down from heaven, when he came the first time, he came bearing the words of God. He was the messenger of Almighty God. Somebody say amen. Okay? So number one, number two, the angels minister. Remember what happened to Jesus after the 40 days in the wilderness when he was fasted and he was tempted 3 times of the devil, and he gave the devil scripture back. Use that one. It'll work, I promise you, okay? And when it was all said and done, when the battle was all over with, the Bible says the angels came and they ministered unto him. Now, I don't know exactly what they did, but at that point, you listen to this now. At that point, Jesus was no longer alone. And there is something that God has put into you and I that I know every now and then we want everybody leave me alone. Amen. But nobody wants to stay alone. There may be somebody. Very few people want to stay alone. We like, why are we here? We like to know that we have people around us that can minister to us and fellowship with us. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Okay, they're ministering to him. Now Jesus was no longer alone. And now Jesus, as the head angel, tells his disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will never be alone. Aren't you glad that Jesus is that angel? Amen? Amen. And there are other things angels do. The Bible is God's going to use angels in the last days, pouring out vials of wrath, blowing trumpets and things like that. All of those ministries will ultimately what's the word I'm trying to say? It's an easy word too. They will point you, there we go, back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Say amen. It will point you back to Jesus. All right, now, Exodus chapter 3. I read this one time, and I'll tell you what, the Lord blessed my heart with this. This is Moses and the burning bush. You remember Charlton Heston? Amen? Okay? Moses. You remember that voice? Okay? I don't know why God talks so slow and deep, but apparently he does. Anyway, now when Moses, verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the... Listen, look, who is appearing to him in the midst of the bush? Who is appearing to him? The angel of the Lord is appearing to... Now watch this, because remember, we established Sunday morning that God will... Oh, he established it at Mount Horeb with his people. From here on out, when you hear from me, it's going to be through a mediator. You with me? Remember, the Father will never work and circumvent around the Son, and the Son will never work around or go behind the Father. Somebody say amen. They'll always work together. So here it is. Here it is. Watch this. Now look at your King James Authorized 1611 Holy Ghost Blessed Bible. Amen? The angel of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What does that denote? In Hebrew, Yod, He, Vah, He. Jehovah or Yahovah. Okay, however, Jehovah. J sometimes has a J, and if you speak a Spanish, it has a J. Okay? So it's interchangeable. Jehovah. Okay? That's what capital L-O-R-D in your King James denotes, that in the Hebrew it was God's personal name, Jehovah. The angel of the Lord appeared in him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Look at that. Look at that. Who is it that's in the midst of the bush? The angel of the Lord. Who calls to him out of the midst of the bush? It says it. God. God. Out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, the angel of the Lord said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Do you remember when Jesus was trying to convince the Pharisees and the Sadducees about the resurrection? And he said, God is not the God of the dead. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are dead, then God is the God of the dead. But he's not. He's the God of the living, because they're alive right now. And Jesus was referencing this burning bush message that God himself was speaking. And you can imagine some of those religious Pharisees hearing Jesus use that phrase, God of Jacob, God of Isaac, and God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're thinking, does he think he's God? And they hate his guts for it. Because the scripture says that Jesus thought it not robbery. They messed that one up too. You know how I know the New World Translation messed that up? Because all of the other translations messing that one up too. God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And what he was seeing was God's mediator, the messenger, the angel of the Lord, who called himself God. God. I love it. I love it. Exodus. Wow. Boy, I have so many places to go. Genesis 22. See, that's out of order too. What was you thinking, Hoggard? Oh, I know what I did. I know what I did. I've got Genesis. You might want to write this down. Genesis 48:16. Exodus 23, 20 through 23, and Exodus 32, 34. Those are the, I like this, there are four places in the King James Bible where the word angel is capitalized with the letter A. And when you go read them, you will see clearly that that is a reference to Jesus Christ. Now, I hadn't got into these yet. There's no way. I may have to visit this again. I'm liking this so far. This is coming out a whole lot better than when I was putting the notes together. Amen. Okay, but I'm just telling you, just think of the office of the angel and the ministry that Jesus has to us, giving us the word of God, ministering to us, helping us along, being there for us, along with us. By the way, they all carry swords too. Amen? That means devil step back. Amen. All right, let's do this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. I hope you like it better than I liked it, and I liked it a lot. Genesis 22 is Abraham taking Isaac, his son, his only son, up 3 days' journey to Mount Moriah. Okay? And look in verse 11. The Bible says, look at verse 10. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, I want you to get this. Abraham is ready to plunge a knife into his only son. God has told him what? What did God tell him to do? Offer up. If you have an NIV close by, shame on you. But if you've got one, go look at that in the NIV. I heard this one time. We took our teens down to one of these little youth deals that the denomination used to put on. And they brought in this little suave, little liberal pastor who had a Bible, wasn't even reading out of the Bible. He had his little note card hidden in the Bible to make it look spiritual. And he was reading out of his NIV this story. And he read that passage. In the NIV it says, God told Abraham, sacrifice your son there. That's not what it says. God told him to offer him up. There is a difference. Abraham, listen, if we follow the faith of Abraham, and Abraham believed God, and he acted upon that belief, he did exactly what God told him to do. You see, this story never made sense to me as a child, because I didn't get the nuances of the scripture. I thought, well, God told him to do it. Now he's telling him not to do it. It didn't make sense to me. But let me tell you something. God does not contradict himself, ever. And the language of this King James Bible is legal language. And there's no loopholes in it. Just because you don't like it and you want to put loopholes in it, that doesn't mean there is. And God specifically spelled out to Abraham, offer him up. And when Abraham put him on that altar and bound him and pulled that knife up over him like that, Abraham had fulfilled everything God told him to do. He offered. Are you with me? He offered. NIV says, sacrifice him. So I want you to get why this is important, okay? And I'll probably close with this, but I like this. You look in verse 11. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lift up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram. I love that. God will provide himself. Amen. But anyway, I want you to understand this. Paul said in Galatians, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel. And this right here is a proto-gospel. It is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ in that a sacrifice is to be made. And God is going to offer up his only son. Okay? Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. Now, if this, number one, if God told Abraham to sacrifice him, and then an angel calls unto him and says, don't, and Abraham follows what the angel said in contradiction to what God said, Abraham's in hell burning right now. But he's not. Because God didn't say sacrifice him. He said offer him. But here we have number two. We have Christ pre-incarnate as the angel of the Lord. The very voice of God. The word of God. Calling to Abraham from heaven. And since God is the one who placed Abraham on this journey, only God can step in here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. See, that's prophecy language. Abraham, by faith, even named the mountain Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What shall be seen? The salvation of the Lord. And at this very location, Christ was offered up as the sacrifice. Somebody say amen. Now look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called on Abraham out of heaven the second time. In Bible prophecy language, that means he's coming again. Amen? The first time dealt with his sacrificial death. Look at the second time now that he calls Abraham. And he said, here's what the angel of the Lord said. I'm getting happy. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. Who is the blesser of Abraham? It's the angel of the Lord. And that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and thy seed shall all, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham, and I like this. Abraham heard the voice of Jesus Christ. Okay? Don't you get this? Abraham dies and is buried in the cave of Machpelah. Okay? Caves are always a picture of like the grave or the pit, hell. Okay? Flash forward now 2 days, 2,000 years. Okay? There is a rich man that dies and goes to hell, and he's in flames, he's in torment. And Lazarus dies, and where is he? He's in a place of the underworld called Abraham's bosom, where those who had Old Testament faith in this place it shall be seen. Abraham knew what was going to happen. He by faith he could see it afar off in the distance. And there was Abraham and there was Lazarus and all those of the Old Testament that died in faith awaiting to be set free. And they're waiting to be set free. And there they are in timeless eternity in the lower parts of the earth being held there. And the Bible says that when Jesus died, he went to preach. And so Abraham is in Abraham's bosom. And he hears a voice. And he says, I know that voice. I've heard this voice before. I know who this is. People, this is the angel of the Lord that I told you about that I heard that kept me from stabbing my son in the Isaac, you remember I told you this story. That he's coming. He's coming and he's going to set us free. And the Bible says that he set captivity free. Abraham knew that voice. And I want to tell you something. When you hear the voice of God, you'll never forget it. You will never forget hearing the voice of God. Can I hear God's people say amen? That is reason 15,498,000,000 why I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And well, we've got a long way to go, and I want to do it justice, and so we might carry this on a little bit, and I hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoy. I love it. I love preaching the Word out of the Scriptures. Give me one word, and let's go get them. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Pray for one another. Pray for me. Pray for my mom, my sister, my family. Love you. Glad you came tonight. Appreciate you being here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us and bless us and encourage us all. Brother Sterling, Leonard, I love you. Would you lead us in prayer, please?
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word. God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.